This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's time for the hard-hitting analysis you won't find anywhere else.
Here's former Super Bowl winning scout Brian Broaddus
and Bobby Belt.
10-5 victory! Cowboys win!
This is Love of the Star.
Welcome to the Love of the Star podcast. I'm Bobby Belt, Dallas Cowboys insider for 105 Through the Fan in Dallas. Joined as always by former Super Bowl winning scout Brian Broaddus. He is now the co-host of the G-Bag Nation, 2 to 7 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday on 105 Through the Fan in Dallas. He is also the pre- and post-game co-host on the Dallas Cowboys Radio Network. Brian Broaddus, how you doing?
Doing well, Robert. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I'm up to, I finally had circled back on a couple guys in the draft yesterday, and I was just kind of looking over some guys and trying to figure out, okay, do I really feel comfortable? Let me compare notes. All right, let me go back, watch a little bit of this guy, see some things. So I felt pretty good about finally kind of putting my grades out there for the positions yesterday. I'm up to 172 players, Brian. I'm trying to get to 200. I still got a list of guys that I'm asking about that I need to run down. But how far along are you, Brian? And how much more are you going to put in?
I've actually, with the help of Dane Brugler, he does this far more extensively than I do, almost on a team level.
The Beast is coming out next week, by the way.
Yeah, I've been doing it since May, Dane. So I was asking him, I'm like, listen, give me your draftable guys that you have by position. And so what I did was I took his list and then cross-checked it with my list, of like to make sure like there's a couple of guys at each position that I'm going to have to go back. It's going to be well over 100 for me because there's certain positions that now have players. The cornerback position, we could add a lot more to. The safety position, I can add a lot more to. The defensive tackle list was very, very small, which you can add to. So here I am. I'm going to be well over 200 players. It's what I'm going to post for our station at 105.3. The Fan is I'll post my board and then I'll post my stack is what I'll do. And I think everybody will have a good idea of how I see these players. But the number is going to be over 200. It's just the way that the draft's going to fall. And I do feel like I do not want to miss a player that, say, Dane has a fifth, sixth round grade on.
Right.
I think that's unfair to the kid. I've got time to do it. You know, we've got a couple more weeks. I could take a couple of days and, knock out a bunch of guys and put them on a board. And, and that way, if they do get selected, if they're not by the Dallas Cowboys, then maybe – another team. But that's the thing about the draft show, as we all know, we all take it responsibility that not just about the Dallas Cowboys, it's about all the teams. We have a lot of fans out there that listen to us regardless of if their team is the Cowboys or the Buccaneers or the Rams. And I think it's important that we give those players their due, and we also give those fans the opportunity to hear about their players if they're drafted.
Yeah, absolutely. You said it long ago, the motto of the draft show, investigate and educate. And,
right.
And that's what we're here to do. I was looking at it. I was going through looking at all the positions I worked. I've done a bunch of edge guys, a bunch of corners, a bunch of receivers. I'm way too low. I'm in the single digits still on safeties and centers, Brian.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to, those are the ones that I think I'm going to have to really focus on finishing up here. But everything else, I feel like I got a pretty good handle on the meat of the draft at this point. But let's look at the guys at the top of the draft. Cause we've run through these scenarios where we talk about, the offensive line feels like the odds on favorite. If I was to just ask you to give a percentage right now, Brian, let's say the Cowboys stay in and pick at 24. If they stay in and pick at 24, what would you say the percentage chances that position is an offensive lineman right now?
I would say it's pretty good.
I'm going like 90-95%. I think it's an offensive lineman.
Yeah, if you look at just on 30 visit guys, the interesting one, and we talked about it, and then the previous show was Thwaga from Oregon State, a very interesting name because I don't feel like he's going to get to them at 24, and so now I'm in that mode of, is this a possible trade up if he gets to a certain number? Do they have something in mind? It's to go get a guy like that. Is this a big smokescreen? It's when you look at, they visit with him at the combine, they visited with him now a 30 visit. It seems like there's some intent there. I don't think that you do all these things just to smokescreen this thing.
Yeah.
I believe he's a legitimate top two offensive tackle, depending on what you think about Alt from Notre Dame. I know on my board I have him that way. The Barton visit, the Powers Johnson visit, I think is kind of taking you in a direction. Another wild card here, would you think about, a possibility with like a Byron Murphy, it's a three technique we're talking about. I don't see a lot of one techniques on my board.
No, there's not a lot.
Not a lot. That's a pretty thin position. The three techniques, I think, stretch pretty well. But your question was offensive lineman possibilities. I think it's leaning that direction.
Okay, so because I think everybody kind of has felt like it's offensive line, and we've kind of gone over the position group, I know some people have been like, okay, well, who's somebody who could slide down to us? Who's somebody that we could be looking at and talking about as like, well, we didn't know this guy was going to be here. So I think an easy way to do this today, or just to like familiarize people with what kind of names are out there, is we're just going to go through the position groups here over the next little bit until we go into the mailbag and just look at who the first round graded players are. Brian, how many do you have this year? You have 22?
22.
Okay. So I've ended up with 18.
Okay.
After I went back and checked on some stuff yesterday, which is where I was at. I moved a couple guys.
I think we're different. I bet you I could tell you where I think we're different.
Okay.
I don't think you have Brian Thomas in the first round.
I do not.
I don't think you have Wiggins from Clemson, the corner, in the first round.
I do have Wiggins in the first round.
I don't think you have Newbin, the safety from Minnesota, in the first round.
Correct. I do not.
I don't think you have Penix in the first round.
No, I do not. I did not know you had Penix in the first round.
Williams, Daniel Penix are my three first round quarterbacks.
I like Penix a lot. Let's start there then. Quarterback position, your first round graded players, list them for me real quick, and then just kind of give us a quick encapsulation of that group.
Williams, Caleb Williams, likely the best player in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
He's my number one overall. He's likely going to go to the Bears here unless something crazy happens. With Jayden Daniels, LSU, I feel like, though, to me, if I'm a Cowboy fan, and I'm saying this from a guy that watched him play 2 years at LSU, if Daniels ends up with the Commanders, I think that's a bad thing for the Cowboy fans. I think that the Commanders, to me, were a team that needed a quarterback desperately, but their defense faltered so badly. But they fixed this quarterback room then they're going to go in the right direction, I believe. And then I have Michael Penix as my third quarterback in the first round. If you look at Penix, he's an older guy. He's dealt with injury in his career. Everywhere he's been, he's won. The Indiana football program is not the same. If you remember Indiana several years ago, Michael Penix was beating Ohio State, was beating Michigan. That's something Indiana never did except in basketball. So I think that you look at Penix and you look at what he did at Washington with the talented receivers, the offensive line, the defense that they had, and a well-built team. Michael Penix got that head coach the Alabama job.
Yeah, way that Jalen Bohr.
Yeah. So I feel like, though, to me, with Drake May, McCarthy, Nix, those guys, I have May, McCarthy in the second, and I have Nix all the way down to the third.
I'm with you. I have Nix in the third. I'm with you that I have Jaden Daniel have Caleb Williams in the first round. The only other first round quarterback I have is Drake May. I've got Penix in the second. I have Daniels in the third with McCarthy. Because to me, I look at Daniels and I felt like of the group, Nix, Daniels, McCarthy, Penix, Williams, and May, I felt like watching Daniels, I saw the least amount of like true pro throws on his tape. I felt like in terms of stuff that's like being able to attack the middle of the field, being able to have the arm strength to, you know, throw stuff outside the numbers. Those, you know, the coaches always talk about it, you know, those like those 18-yard comebacks outside the numbers. Like, you got to be able to throw that. And I don't know that Jaden Daniels can consistently hit that. I don't know about Jaden Daniels throwing to the middle of the field. So those are kind of where my reservations are. But I absolutely love Caleb Williams. I really love the upside of Drake May. I mean, the common comparison everybody keeps throwing out there for his upside is Justin Herbert. But I think also on the back end of that, like the floor for him is also could very easily be a guy like Connor Cook, at least for me. That's who I saw. Yeah. So you got to start answering. Here's the biggest question to me with Drake May, Brian. The decision making is really questionable at times.
Yep.
That gets him in trouble. My thing is you have to discern, is the decision making a factor of irrational confidence or he didn't see it? And I think more often than not, it's an issue of he's just believing way too much in his ability to fit it in there. And I think that I can live with a little bit more than the guy who doesn't see it. That's more concerning to me, is when you just don't see it and you make a bad throw.
No, I think you're onto something there. The thing with Daniels, I'll circle back with you on that. I think there are throws that I think that if you really, really, really study LSU, And you watch, and again, this is my watching him play every game for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I understand that they have Neighbors, Thomas, Lacey. They've got legitimate pro receivers. So they've got a legitimate, Jason Taylor's son plays tight end. He's a legitimate, they've got weapons.
Yeah.
And I do see crossing routes. I do see sideline throws. I do see vertical game. When you watch guys like Neighbors and Thomas and those guys play, I think you see a lot of different routes. I think this kid can make those throws. I think physically, he's not for everybody's eye. He's not, you know, Williams, and he's not Penix, and and Drake May looks like a NFL ready quarterback.
And I'll be honest, that like you got to check your own bias at the door at times. And sometimes Daniels is not the style of quarterback that I like typically. And so right. I also have to clear that away when I watch him.
I'll tell you what, there's things I know people give McCarthy a lot of, a lot of crap. There's things that he does that is you can't discount his ability to win. He lost one game in his career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at Drake May, he beat one top 25 team, and that was Miami. He's had games where he's had multiple interceptions. You know, I think you're on to something about his ability to see the field, to actually process the talents there. But I felt like that there wasn't always the accuracy. Felt like he kind of hung his guys out a couple of times. Maybe it's this bias too towards North Carolina and what we've seen from their quarterback play.
Trubisky, you know, and Howell recently.
Yes.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a little bit of that. But I'll tell you what, though, if you ask me to bet on one guy, I'd bet on Penix.
I really believe in Penix. Penix, the biggest question there is just like, what are teams going to look at with the medicals? He's had a couple knee issues.
That's a big thing.
So that's something to ask about. So that's the quarterback group. First round graded running backs, I don't think either of us have one, do we?
No. I got
Jonathan Brooks at Texas is the top one for me. He's in the second round, though. Over to receiver, there's going to be a cluster of them. We're going to have to jump to a break here in a sec. So let's really quickly, I imagine we're the same here. You have just one first round graded tight end, correct?
Bowers, yes.
Yeah, Brock Bowers at Georgia. I know that there were some questions. Some people felt like, okay, is he enough of a factor in the run game? Is the size really what you want out of a tight end? Are those really the only knocks on Bowers? Because, I mean, I think if you want to see, I've said it several times, you want to see the best tape anybody put out there all year, Auburn. To me, it's Bowers against Auburn. He won that game for them. He took over the game and was making insane plays. To me, Bowers is an easy first round player and somebody that I actually have. Where do I have him in my stack, Brian? I'll tell you right now. I have Brock Bowers fifth.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not a true inline tight end. He's a big receiver, but those physical traits. We all love Kyle Pitts from the 2021 draft and kind of feel like this is a similar player. I feel like Brock Bowers is a little bit better. And I absolutely love Pitts, you know. But like I say, both these guys are nightmares to deal with when they play on the move. They're dominant. Yeah. Body control, balance, big-time catch radius. The ball's near them, they're going to catch it. So, yeah, there's a lot to love about Brock Bowers. You know, I don't know if everybody, you know, they look at him, he's 6'3", he's 243 pounds. But you watch him run with the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
You'd swear he's like 280 pounds, the way he just runs through people. This guy's one of the best players in the country when it comes to run after catch.
Yeah.
And make a real problem to bring down.
Tough, contested catches in traffic. Yeah. I mean, he is such a good player to me. Obviously, yeah. Is it classic inline tight end build? No. It's more similar to what Evan Engram was coming out several years ago. That's the type of build you're talking about here. You're listening to the Love the Star podcast. The Love the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Brian, let's take a look at the receiver group. I've got three graded in the first round there, and I think everybody that I've seen pretty much has these three graded in the first round. Marvin Harrison Jr. at Ohio State, Malik Nabers at LSU, Roma Dunze at Washington. But it sounded like you had Thomas in there. Is Thomas your fourth first round receiver, or do you have
he
more
is
than
my
that?
Fourth guy? Yeah.
Okay. What is it that you like about Thomas's game?
I'll tell you what, the thing with, again, this is,
would you be interested in him at 24 if he got there?
See, we had that mock draft that we did with DallasCowboys.com on the draft show, and he was there, and we couldn't trade back. We just said, you know, we had to acknowledge that he was there, which was, you know, we also felt like that maybe that all these wide receivers would be gone. And there could be a possibility that Thomas is there when Dallas does pick it at 24. But, you know, here's this guy. He's 6'3". He's 209 pounds. He's a fluid mover, and he creates separation with each stride he takes. He's savvy. He's reliable. I feel like he focuses well enough. He could track it down the field. I mean, I've seen him make some share of big-time plays. Seen him play well in tight spaces. I've seen him high point balls, feet down, all in one motion. You know, he could snatch the ball out of there. He's got that kind of that concentration to make acrobatic plays. And so I've seen him like track the ball either shoulder. Didn't matter. And there's just some toughness to his game. I think that the thing that he's going to have to worry about is the release off the press and some contested catches. You know, those are some of the things I think that he's going to have to deal with. But when he sees that ball, he does a great job of going to get it. I think he's a big time receiver when it comes to that.
He is incredibly fast. Like, I mean, he's got all that stuff that you can't teach.
He's a finisher.
In his favor.
He's one of the best in the nation when it comes to finishing plays.
And I really am intrigued by the upside. The biggest thing for me at times was just, and you run into this occasionally with at different positions and receivers, no different. We see guys with traits like that. There are just times I watch it and I go like, am I watching a receiver or am I watching an athlete? Like, sure. That's the biggest question for me, is that I don't know that the footwork is as clean as it needs to be. You know, whenever there is anybody who is able to stick to him and, you know, put him in contested catches, he has trouble. Yeah. I mean, every player will have their weaknesses and stuff like that. I really like the upside. Like I said, I just, a lot of times watching, I was like, I feel like I'm watching an athlete. And when you're trying to project that jump up to NFL athlete, the margins become a lot thinner. And I need to know that you're going to be somebody who can do more than just, you know, out athleticism everybody all the time. Sure. And that's just my biggest question with Thomas. But I do like him. And I really am intrigued by the upside. I just am a little lower on him than I think most others are. So that's the receiver group. This is a heavy tackle class. In fact, let's just go ahead. Give me your, because I know it's a little muddied with a couple different guys. Give me your tackles and guards together. And just
don't have a first round guard.
Now you would not. Now I'm in the minority here. I know there's some people. I think Troy Fatanu at Washington can play tackle. I would play him at guard though.
Yeah, I've got him as a second round. I got him as a second round tackle.
Fatanu?
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing with Ault, Fuaga, Fashanu, Guyton, Latham, those are my first round offensive tackles.
Okay.
And maybe a couple of those guys can play guard. I mean, well, actually, probably, I think I've had people ask me about Fuaga playing guard. I've had people ask me about Latham playing guard.
Yeah.
So we might see some of these tackles. We know that Morgan from Arizona, just kind of getting a vibe from visiting with people in the building, maybe look at him more as a guard than a tackle.
Specifically for Dallas.
Yeah.
Not like the whole NFL views him that way. There probably teams that do it, right. but specifically Dallas.
He would be that guy. Yeah.
So on tackles, I have five first round guards. It sounds like you said you have five as well.
Right.
Okay. So we have the same four. Like, we got four of the same five. I have Ault, Fashanu, Latham, Fuaga. And then the one that I'm a big fan of that I know I can't convince anybody else on is Kingsley Suamataia at BYU. And that's going to be the one of my pivot players that I'll either look really good, or it'll be like, what the hell were you doing putting that guy there?
No. And the player is impressive. You know, the thing about it is I kind of have a history with these BYU offensive tackles.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just kind of like, okay, But yeah, I mean, this guy is 6'5", 326 pounds. It's pretty impressive when you look at a guy that big with the range, the agility. I thought he was much better in the Texas Tech game, and then he struggled against Texas. You know, and there were times when he was driven back on the bull rush, defender got underneath him. Hands and feet, I think, are going to need some coordination there.
Yeah,
but he'll work himself back in position so he doesn't lunge or get top heavy. But defenders have a hard time with him because of his size and his movement skills.
Yeah.
I mean, those are all things that he does very, very well.
Yeah. And I think, like, for me, I'm a big fan of what, obviously, the athleticism, the frame, everything else that's encouraging. But I'm also a big fan of the mentality. He wants to blow people up. He wants to destroy people in the run game. I'm a fan of the instincts, the feel for the game. I think it's stuff that it's similar to when you watch Tyler Smith and you see it, or you find out things about Tyler Smith where you're like, you know, the work ethic, and you see some of the natural instincts and you project out that he can put it together a little bit. Suamati is definitely projecting out a little bit because what he is right now is not a complete finished product, but yeah. I feel good about his ability to click that into place. No first round guard for you. Like I said, I have Fatanu as a guard primarily who can play some tackle.
Can I throw a guy out there though? And yeah. I mentioned it yesterday, was Christian Mahogany.
Yeah, from Boston College.
Boston College. Maybe not first round guy, maybe not second round, but if you're going to, there's a pocket of these guards, and we're going to need to kind of, we've all kind of talked about BB from Kansas State.
Yep.
But think about Christian Mahogany. Another name I'm going to throw out there just off my board, because I kind of got all these guys in a group there, and I'm interested to see Delmar Glaze from Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
He's played left and right tackle for Maryland. He's a good sized tackle. I wonder if he's going to project inside to play guard.
I have not watched him yet.
Yeah, just a name to keep in mind, because I was just going through my board and I'm like, okay, who are some of these guards? Because we keep talking about BB. I'm like, man, we're not talking enough about Mahogany from Boston College, and we're not talking enough about Delmar Glaze, I think. Because I think that he's a guy at 6'4", 315 pounds. You need to know a little bit about him and potentially what he could do for somebody.
Really quickly, I know we're doing first round players, but I'm curious for this because I had some people really trying to fight with me on it yesterday. And so I'm curious.
I'm sorry, I was giving you second and third round players.
No. I'm going to ask you about a second round player I have right now. I caught a little bit of hell from some people when I put out my guard grades, and people were like, why do you have Rosengarten from Washington as a guard? And I put him at guard instead of tackle. For me, it's length, and I'm concerned about some of the athlete, like NFL, the athleticism of NFL edge rushers getting around that corner on him. I'd feel better about, and I know he tested well. We're talking about functional athleticism within a game framework. I feel like that projects better inside to me, especially with the length, the wingspan, the arm. The arm came in under 34. Wingspan was 40th percentile for tackles. I just feel better about Rosengarten inside at guard. But I was just curious for your thoughts in general on the idea of Rosengarten at tackle versus guard.
I got him at tackle. And I know it's, you know, here I am when you start to talk about, I have the worst luck in the league when it comes to, okay, tackle who's linear, long, who weighs 308 pounds, who doesn't have great strength. Every time I kind of take a shot at those guys, they end up playing like 10, 12 years. I feel like that Rosengarten could be, I think he's a really good foot athlete. And I think the movement skills are outstanding. I think that the coordination of hands and feet, I talk about that. He's able to keep his guy wide enough. And what I like about him, he's a thinking man blocker, if you bear with me here.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you get these tackles, and if you watch the Senior Bowl stuff on him, there's a crafty element to his game. because what he'll do is he'll throw rushers off with the timing of his sets. Sometimes he'll drop deep. The next time he might short set you. The next time he might kick wide to you, or you know, or then set more inside. He doesn't give you the same look every time that you play against him.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. I think that if you get him into a pin and pull system where he can down block or he can get outside, when he pulls, he can execute those blocks. I like the way, like I say, he throws the rushers off with his timing of his sets. So that's kind of where I, you know, right tackle, left tackle, somebody's going to find a way to use this guy, because I feel like that he's got that he's kind of a veteran. He's a young guy with veteran ideas of how to throw rushers off.
Yeah, no. And I think that's fair. And look, I mean, could he have tackle flexibility? Absolutely. For me, it's just, again, it's about the length of NFL edge rushers, the type of athleticism that they can have to get around the corner. I don't feel like the kick slide, you know, running the arc is always as fluid as I'd want it to be going into, you know, the next level. To me, I think that the mental processing, and you talk about the IQ and stuff like that, I think that's so valuable inside at guard and dealing with twists and stunts and other things like that. I think he could just be an excellent guard, but tackle is definitely a spot. Now we'll have to do defensive first round grades probably on the next episode, but really quickly, center. I don't have a first round graded center. I think you have at least one.
I do. I have Powers Johnson there as the first round center.
And what is it that you really like about it? I think, to me, when you talk about mental processing and just a technically sound, you know, strong type of player in the run game and somebody who can really anchor in pass protection as well, I really do like Jackson Powers Johnson.
Yeah, I think he's got the right type of attitude to play offensive line. I think he's got a mean, nasty streak to his game. He's a problem for defenders to deal with in space. He could be a road grader type of a guy. He's played guard. He's moved to center. He can play laterally, the foot speed, the movement, the angles, second level. I've seen him get two blocks on one play. He'll bounce from one man to the other to secure two blocks. He can drive his guy out of the hole. He doesn't appear to have the longest arms, but when he gets his hands inside, he's going to finish his guy. And I think he does a really good job of finding that target on the move. And so you can use him as a puller. You can use him as a screen, the screen game. The thing that, you know, there's sometimes he'll lose his man occasionally if his feet get a little weird. But, and he did struggle a little bit with some quickness off his shoulder, but smart guy. I just don't see him busting or being fooled. I love the way he plays the game. I love his toughness. The questions about him, Bobby, we've been talking about it for weeks. How healthy is this guy really? You know, how healthy is he?
Yeah.
What's he dealing with? Is he dealing with shoulder problems? Is he dealing with a hip problem? Is he dealing with knee problem? What's he dealing with? You know, and I think the Cowboys are going to do their due diligence on this guy and try and figure all those things out.
We will do defensive first round grades on the next episode, but that does it for the offense. If you're just curious and wanting to familiarize yourself with the idea of, okay, who could fall to them that would be a nice first round graded player that you wouldn't necessarily anticipate that might cause them to pick somebody over an offensive lineman. There are some names on offense, and we'll go over defense next time. You're listening to the Love the Star podcast. The Love the Star is an Odyssey podcast. You can find it on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live, only on Netflix.
All right, Brian, it is now time for our Dean Julia Love of the Star mailbag. We're going to dip into it, let our listeners take over for a little bit, throw their questions out here. First one comes all the way from Spain, from Gonzalo, one of our listeners based out of Spain. He said, hug to both of you from Spain. But he says, hi, Bobby. Hi, Brian. If you draft a wide receiver in the first three rounds, there's a decent chance that another wide receiver is the best player on your board in the fifth, obviously, because the receivers stretch deep. So, I mean, fifth round, absolutely, you could have a receiver as your top graded player on the board. If that's the case, do you double dip? Not a position of need now, but maybe next year. Brian, your thoughts?
No, I don't. You know, and by the way, thank you so much for following along with us from Spain. That's wonderful. I kind of feel like, though, that this thing does stretch. He's absolutely right about that. I'm going to ask you this question, Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
If Dallas picks up that extra three,
trades down,
they don't get a four, but they trade back. We've talked about the Buffalo scenario. We've talked about Baltimore scenario, Kansas City at 32 scenario.
If you want to trade out of the first round, you want to go to the second. Washington's got capital to make it happen.
There you go. Do you take that extra? What would you like to target? Would it be a wide receiver if you got that extra pick?
So assuming I take an offensive lineman in the first and a running back in the second,
right?
Then with the two other picks, I mean, obviously it would depend on how the board falls, but I might be talked into double dipping at offensive line. And then I think there's going to be a safety there that I really like. And I really want to get a high IQ, like high level mental processor at the safety position with what Mike Zimmer wants to put in here. And so,
linebacker out of the mix?
I just don't. I, in theory, I'd love to address the position. I just don't know that the right players are going to be there for me. Like, I mean, you know, it's you're kind of in the purgatory spot with Edgerrin Cooper from Texas A&M. How do you feel about Peyton Wilson's injury history? Like, if Tommy Eichenberg is the top graded linebacker there, I don't know how excited I am to make that pick,
Bobby.
No, they are. They absolutely are. I mean, and
if you look at DallasCowboys.com, and thank you to Dallas Cowboys themselves, Will McClay and the staff, for providing us some names. But I guarantee you, if we got their list, there's going to be more linebackers on that list that we're not thinking about.
Yeah,
there's probably some third-round linebackers. And I wonder if you take your own third-round pick, or you get that extra pick for going back, I wonder if that's where they address the linebacker.
I feel like the linebacker value is like round four, round five for me. And so that's the only reason why I'd give some pauses. I feel like I might be reaching in round three.
And because the problem I'm running into, and I did a show with Vach Lombardi before we did our show.
Awesome dude.
Yeah, great guy. And we were talking about Wilson, Cooper, Colson, Wallace. You know, we were talking about those guys. And do you see them all as third round guys?
I see Cooper, Colson, and Wilson as second rounders. That's Edgerrin Cooper, Texas A&M, Junior Colson, Michigan, Peyton Wilson, from NC State. God, I love Wallace
from Kentucky.
I think that I don't think Edgerrin Cooper gets to you at your pick in the second round. And assuming we took a running back with that second pick, I don't think Cooper, Colson, and Wilson get to you in the third.
I
don't think it happens. I'm looking at, I don't dislike Trevin Wallace. I've got him in the fourth round though.
See, Wallace, I mean, I got him a lot higher than you do.
Where do you have
him? I got him a lot higher than you do. And I might be way wrong about him. I just think that he is.
Where do you have him?
I'm in second.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking at Wallace. I'm looking at Ford from Texas as a third rounder. I've got Hopper from Missouri in the third round, and then Watson, who they told us is a visit. You know, again, we don't know all their 30 visits. We know part of them, but there's just this belief that I guarantee you they're looking to. They might have 7, 8, 9 guys, these linebackers they're looking at.
I think, man, if there's a position where we might have a bigger split, and we'll do, like I said, our first round guides on the next one. It might be linebacker, because my linebackers in the second round, I mentioned Cooper, Colson, Wilson. In the third, I have Cedric Gray and Tommy Eichenberg. And then in the fourth, I have Jordan McGee, Trevin Wallace, and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. So that's kind of where I've got my stack up here.
Maybe, and I don't think I window dressed my board, Bobby. What I did was I wanted to make sure that I wanted to be able to compare those linebackers to Malachi Corley
and
Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to make sure that how committed was I to when I start looking at linebackers, I'm like, okay, that's something I clearly need. But okay, what other players from the offensive line, the center, the wide receiver, tight end, whatever, is there anybody on that offensive side of the board that would keep me from taking one of these linebackers?
Where do you have Javon Bullard from Georgia?
Second round.
Okay, so if let's say you're sitting there in the third round and at your first pick, you're looking.
But see, I got Hicks above him.
Oh yeah, but I don't think Hicks gets to you even in the second.
Okay,
that's how I'm operating. Let's say your first pick in the third round, staring at you right there is Trevin Wallace or Javon Bullard. Who would you rather have? Trevin Wallace, linebacker, Kentucky. Yeah, Javon Bullard, safety, Georgia.
I'd rather have Wallace.
I think,
and
Wallace is not a bad player. I think for me,
I'm higher on Wallace. There's something about the physicality that he plays with.
Mm-hmm.
He's like an emotional leader. He's a captain. There's just so many things you watch him play, and I'm thinking, man, they could use a physical linebacker like this guy.
Yeah.
So that's I might be overselling this kid, but you gave me an interesting problem. Give me a problem where Corley, Benson, Brooks, Wallace, and Bullard are all on the board. I might be trading back.
And just saying, let somebody else pick for me and decide this for me so that I can just take whatever's up. It's an interesting, there's a lot here. This is kind of along the same line of thinking, the idea about double dipping that was brought up a second ago by Gonzalo.
I don't think they can double dip.
Well, Brandon Laurie is asking the question, is there a position the Cowboys could double dip on in the draft that would surprise people? He says, I think it could be running back. You take somebody like Brooks in the second and then someone like Ali in the sixth. No. I would not be opposed to double dipping at offensive line. I think this is such a good class. I wouldn't hate it.
If you told me there was an offensive lineman there in the sixth that was a tackle or something, I think I would entertain that. Let me look at some of my guys in the sixth. How about our guy from Texas? You talk about a returner, what, the little running back Robinson?
Mm-hmm.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah. I've not studied him yet, but no, I know who you're talking about.
You know who I'm talking about then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did Bennett turn you on to him?
No. Every Texas player, though, I asked Bennett about. He's got good scouting reports on all these guys.
He believed in Cooper Rush before anybody else did.
Bennett did. He sure did. He had Cooper Rush right. It's interesting. I was looking at the sixth round of guys that might be there, and I don't know if you've studied this guy or not. Let me get to him here if I can. Khalid Duke from Kansas State.
I've not watched him yet.
Okay. He plays as a stand-up linebacker. He's an edge, 6'3", 246. There's some guys at the bottom of my board that I would kind of – Duke, Robinson, Henderson, the guard – Thrash at wide receiver. There's a Flower. I believe I'm saying this guy's kid. This Flournoy, a wide receiver that I kind of liked. So there's some guys down there that I would consider taking instead of probably double dipping.
Last one here. This is from Josh Weaver, and I know you love these. He's giving you a choose your own adventure. He's giving you three different 3-round mocks to pick from.
Okay.
So the first one. Right. Is going to give you.
I got to write these down because I'll forget them if I don't.
It's going to give you Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle from Oklahoma in the first round.
Got it.
Jeremiah Trotter, linebacker, Clemson in the second round. Which I think is a little early for him, but we'll put it in here.
For them, it would probably be early, yeah.
And then Van Praan, the center from Georgia in the third round. So that's option one. Option two, Barton in the first round from Duke.
Okay.
It's Graham Barton who projects as a center.
Right.
Second round, Edgerrin Cooper at linebacker.
Cooper.
And then
I don't think he gets there, but okay, I like it.
I mean, I'd love it if he did.
Yeah.
I've already
got a favorite here.
And then in the third round, Will Shipley, the running back from Clemson.
I think that's a little rich for me, but the other two picks are really, really good.
And then we've got one more for you. Center, Jackson Powers Johnson in the first.
Okay.
Jonathan Brooks, the running back from Texas in the second.
Okay.
And then tackle from Texas, Christian Jones in the third.
Hmm. Might be one.
Guyton, Trotter, and Van Praan.
Hang on. Barton, center, Cooper, linebacker.
I like two. Two addresses.
I like two a lot. I just don't like the running back there.
I like Shipley. That's a little early for me, but I mean, I like Shipley.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm not trying to. The kid has played a ton of games.
Yeah.
Ton of carries. And you can watch him. He's a tough kid. The group three is interesting because of Powers Johnson. That's your centers taken care of. Your running backs taken care of.
I love Brooks.
Christian Johnson, I kind of feel like Christian Jones is a fourth round guy, fifth round guy.
Yeah, I think you'd be reaching on Christian Jones a little bit.
It's Jones.
I've watched Christian Jones. I've not finished an evaluation on him. I'm confident that I'm going to have Caden Wallace and Blake Fisher above him.
Oh, I could tell you. I could tell you. If you told me, yeah, to be honest with you, I would take, if like a guy like Rosengarten, I'd take Fisher from Notre Dame. I'd take Foster from Missouri. I'd take the Yale kid. I'd take Wallace. I think you're right about that.
So yeah. It's a little bit of reach. Each one of those had a little bit of a reach, I feel like. But I think the one that helps your team the most in 2024 is
probably number two.
Because Barton plays center for you.
Yeah,
you probably roll with Bass at guard, Tyler Smith at tackle. Then you get Cooper playing back there with Overshown and Kendricks. Those are hair on fire guys. And then Shipley helps out in the backfield.
The Guyton, Trotter, Van Praan one is not a bad one either. Because
the thing with Trotter is just he's not the athlete I think I want.
Well, I mean, okay, Guyton is a first on my board.
I like Guyton. You're projecting. You're having him flip position. You're having
Guyton is a first on my board. Trotter's a third on my board. And then
you like Van Praan.
I like Van Praan. I got him as a third. See, so if you did it, it would be 1-3-3 is what it would be. That probably makes the most sense to me. Is what I would probably look at.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, in the one that was pitched, each one of those, I don't have any of those guys graded in the first.
Yeah,
Guyton's a top 20 player for me. Like he's very top of the second round. Guyton, Jackson Powers Johnson, like Graham Barton, those guys are real. They're in the top 25 for me. It's just their second round. They're right on that borderline. But you're picking at 24. There's a chance you're picking a second rounder anyway. That does it for us here today on the Love the Star podcast. Thank you so much for joining us again. Next episode, we will go over the first round graded players that we have on the defensive side of the ball. But for Brian Broaddus, I'm Bobby Belt. We will talk to you guys again later.